collectively. I'm on a list, just another man hoping that he'll get his wish. That wish came true, happened to me. Strange things happen when you just let things be. But I like it here with her, and I wanna give it one more try. And I feel like I'm floating in the clear blue sky. You have to believe, oh, what have you got? Just give up hope, it's better you not. Yesterday's news, people move on. I'll have my 15 minutes and then she'll be gone. But I like it here with her, and I wanna give it one more try. And I feel like I'm floating in the clear blue sky. Like a boat on the sea without a rudder or sail, or a runaway train that's come off the rails. Like a line in the sand which you cannot cross, and you gamble all you have, whatever the cost. Get to the top of the list when she calls my name. Won't waste any time, cause it's a dangerous game. Cause I like it here with her, and I wanna give it one more try. And I feel like I'm floating in the clear blue sky. But I like it here with her, I wanna give it one more try. And I feel like I'm floating in the clear blue sky. And I feel like I'm floating in the clear blue sky.
Alright, you know what I'm saying. But you can see me.
No, I can't see you. No.
Okay, then I'll turn off my...
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
How you doing, man? Where are you?
I'm doing good. I am here in beautiful West Covina, California.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I've been there many times.
Yeah, we were talking just briefly. You have a friend out here in Covina at a guitar store right there in the Old Town Covina Strip, right?
Exactly.
Oh man, that's cool. Actually, I've never been to that place. I forget the name of it right now.
It's the Fret House.
Yes, the Fret House. Yes.
Yep. Although they have nice stuff.
Yeah, although you know, I got to tell you, I have walked that strip a few times. You know, pub crawling around.
Yeah.
And I've never visited, but the store intrigues me now. Now that I know that it's there.
If you go in there and see a guy, ask for a guy named Rick, and I'm sure he'll give you a tour. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah, for sure. I would love to take a tour of that place. Very cool idea, you know? It's weird because, you know, I feel that, like, those places have kind of gone the way of the buffalo, so to speak.
Yeah, it's true, man.
You know, so
I think it's hard. I know it's hard to make a living doing that stuff these days.
I'm a very pro local. I try to support the local as much as I can. Although, you know, it's weird because like when I'm buying gear or whatever, it's hard to find a local place with the gear that I need.
It is. It really is. I mean, I buy everything off eBay mostly and other places, you know, and it's impossible to find. I mean, there's places around here. But I bought a really nice guitar from those guys because they were the only people in the West Coast who had that guitar. So, you know, it happenstance can make it work, but yeah, it's sometimes it's difficult to find stuff.
Exactly. And you know what? I buy things off of eBay too. I just don't buy big things off of eBay. Like I was looking at maybe getting another mixer, but I'm like, I can only buy things that can fit inside a mailbox.
That's a problem.
I'm such, you know, in fear of porch pirates.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah, I had a big thing delivered last week, and I had to I put up signs all over the house saying call me when it comes, and luckily I looked out the window and the guy was there. But yeah, it's a real problem around here too.
Are you in Los Angeles or are you in London?
We're in Silver Lake.
Oh, beautiful! I've partied out there many of times.
I'm sure. Yeah, we'd like to be in London. But I mean, at the moment, there's nothing. You can't do anything.
You can't go anywhere. You just have to stay home.
Yeah, to be honest, if you're going to be stuck somewhere, I think I'd rather be stuck here with the weather than being in the rain. So I think it's better this way.
See, this
it's annoying.
Yeah, this is where you and I differ. I'd rather be stuck in the rain because I just cannot take this heat that's going through Southern California right now.
Well, where you are, man, it's like 20 degrees hotter than where we are. So, I mean, it's 80 here. It's probably like 95 out your way. So, I mean, it's hot out there. I know because I've spent a lot of time out there, and you really notice the difference.
Luckily, I mean, I wanted to do video, but luckily we're not because I'm just in a tank top shirt. I was like, I wanted to dress up nice for you, but then I was like, it's too hot for that. It's too hot to dress up. I'm gonna have to start.
That's cool, man.
Yeah,
cool.
I'm gonna have to start scheduling my interviews like at 6 a.m. when it's nice and
cool.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. You have AC?
You know what? I don't. I just have a fan.
And I know. Our friends out there don't have AC either, and we're like, I don't know how you survive.
A lot of cold water. A lot of cold water, and just like showering
cold
yourself.
Cold t-shirts.
Yeah. But
who are you doing this stuff for, man?
For me. Like for me. Yeah. You know, for energy.
Oh, for you. Okay.
Yeah. For me.
How did you hear about us? Did you get a press release or something from NUB?
Yes. I've worked with them before, and they sent press releases, and I heard about you guys, which was quite ironic because, you know, as I was doing research for you guys, I really couldn't find anything about you guys. First, I thought that was extremely intriguing. I was like, man, these guys are really cool, and I can't find anything about them. I kind of feel like I am an explorer onto a new world, and
cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
You know, get everybody's first impression, or I get to give everybody's first impression guys. So that was really cool. I just played the song "Clear Blue Sky," which is the first single off of "Lost in the World," which is your guys' debut album. By Hyson Green. So that was the first song that I listened to. That indie soul that you guys do is just very cool, I guess, for lack of a better term, because, you know, it is true. Like, you cannot find music like this anywhere. It must find you.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, I've played in lots of bands and stuff, and this is a new thing for me. It's actually the first thing I've done with my brother. He's the lyricist. He's Bernie Taupin. And we have a bunch of other guys we work with in different parts of the world, in London and over here as well. So this has been going for about a year. Previously to that, I was doing a lot of work, more in the sort of Americana blues sort of vein. But I started listening to a lot of Steely Dan and J.J. Cale, if you know those guys.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Not personally. I don't know them personally.
Right, two-thirds of them aren't around anymore, unfortunately. But I just listened to a lot of that stuff, and it just started to sort of percolate through, and, you know, and we started to put some things together. And, you know, there's a few people that, you know, that are in that vein that we like. You know, Stone Foundation, you know those guys?
And I'm not familiar.
They're from the UK. And there's a lot more of this stuff in the UK, it seems like, than over here. It just sort of evolved into this thing, and then we were talking to the NUB guys, and they heard a few songs and said, you know, let's put it out and see what we can do with it. So it just became this sort of organic thing that sort of carried on going. So it's kind of cool.
What is the relationship between you and London? You're from here, from California, but what is that relationship?
I was born over there. I lived over there, you know, growing up. And then I've been here and there, bouncing back and forth for the past, you know, for years. And so working here, working there, doing different things. And, you know, today, you know, given the technology we have, it's actually pretty easy to do things with a lot of different people. And so we've been working I have a studio here. That's sort of the master studio, and then I pull people in that I need to play on different things. And so we have a community of musicians that we work with who have different skills and different feel for different things. And so we were supposed to be there all this year, actually, but so my brother's there, my family's there, and that's part of the reason why you haven't heard much about us, because, you know, this whole slowdown just sort of stopped everything. You know, we put the record out, and then COVID happened, and I was supposed to be over there doing a whole bunch of stuff with my brother and stuff. It just never came to be. So we're in the virtual space at the moment and sort of working on some new things and trying to sort of build a catalog of things that we hope people will find interesting.
Well, I do find it interesting, which is the reason why I had to get a hold of you and rummage through your music. Now, you're the singer, right? Are you the singer?
Yeah, yeah.
Has anyone told you that you sound like Mick Jagger?
No. I'll take it.
Yeah, but this is like Mick Jagger. Has anybody ever seen my baby Mick Jagger? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was listening to this and I'm like, part of me was like, this could be Mick Jagger. I'm like, he could just be like, you know, like my head was like, he could just be like, you know, putting a song out under a different name just to see what could happen.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Let's keep that rumor going. Let's start that.
But when you sing, what are you channeling? Are you channeling like your inner self? Or are you trying to channel somebody else?
It depends on the song, to be honest. Because I think different songs have different feel and different, and they require a different treatment. So some of them are softer, some of them you have to push a bit more. I've listened to a lot of music, I've seen a lot of music, I've played with a lot of people. You bring all of that together in a package, and then you try and do what's appropriate for the moment. I think the song really dictates how it sounds. I think it's like some things are really work well, and that you try other things. I tried a couple of these songs actually with different singers to see what, because there's a couple of people who are interested in doing something with them, that they just didn't work as well. We just sort of tried a few things, and then my brother's kind of, what brothers are like, they're kind of honest, and so he gave me a lot of feedback and a lot of coaching in terms of the sound we were looking for, so that was helpful too.
I worked with my brother a long time ago when I was just launching this website, enterthesshell.com, and this was like 13, 14 years ago. My brother was extremely helpful in launching that, and he used to produce the show, get all the acts to come on and interview with me. It's always weird when you work with a family member because you never know what you're going to get. You never know if you're going to get true honesty or if it's just going to be like, well, he's my sibling, so I have to help him type thing. Was that for you?
I think it started more that way because my brother and I worked on some stuff about 2 or 3 years ago where it was a different band I was working with, and he did some lyrics we liked, so we used them. I think as he's gained in confidence and as he's sort of, become more integral to the stuff we're doing, I think he's become much more open about what he'd like to hear and how he thinks things that need to go. So I think that's true with both of us. I think it's, it is weird working with your brother because you are family and there's a lot of history there. And so it's a matter of really, trying to be as honest as you can and trying to not piss each other off basically as well, because that's pretty easy to do. What's nice about working with him is, if there's something that works for the song on the lyrics that isn't in that, I have to rewrite a piece or I have to change a piece. I've worked with people before who, if you touch their words, they go crazy. And he's very open to sort of like, yeah, that's cool, let's just do that. Because I'll say that, again, the song sort of drives the way the words work. And so, he's been really open in terms of just, let's just get the best product we can out of this and put our egos to the side and try and move forward. And that works well, I think.
Because it's you and your brother, when you guys are in, recording with the band, what is the band's take? Because the band would kind of be like, well, these two are obviously a team. It's already two against all of us already. what is that like?
Because most of the people who we work with actually do their own thing too. A lot of what we, I'll bring these guys to help us, but then next week I'll be doing something with them, or my brother will do something with them. And so, it's very sort of this very close-knit relationship between a bunch of different people making music. And so they're happy to do what we want because they want us to do what they want. So it's, it kind of works that way. It kind of works well that way. So there's a bunch of other people we work with who, they have their own careers. I get pinged to say, could you put a guitar bit down on this or something? And so I'll do that. And then we work through that. Actually, the good thing about it is a couple of these guys are my brother's friends, not mine. So far, so good. I think hopefully musical differences and whatever won't get in the way. But so far, it's been really positive.
We're going to play the song Broken Hearts and Promises. And then when we come back, we are going to have more with my guest, David Osborne from Heist and Green, right here on What's the Music.
I'm lying. lying here beside you. I hardly slept a wink. Bombshell you dropped on me really made me sing. Broken hearts and promises, regrets and many lies. I know it cause I've seen it with my own eyes. You said you've gotta leave here. We both know that's a lie. Despite the tears you've shed, we know that you won't try. Broken hearts and promises, regrets and many lies. I know it cause I've seen it with my own. Talking, said you have to leave. You need to move on out of here. But what can I believe? Regrets and many lies. I know it cause I've seen it with my own eyes. Broken hearts and promises, regrets and many lies. I know it cause I've seen it with my own eyes.
What the music, as we are playing cuts off of Lost in the World by Hyson Green, and I am speaking with David Osborne, the singer. Lost in the World, that title does bring a connotation about your music. That's what that brings to me. Like, your music is lost in the world. There is no outlet. There is no kind of place for this music to grow and thrive. Am I taking that out of context?
It was more just the feeling about where the world is today. I mean, I think there's a lot going on that I think we're all struggling with, and a lot of things that we'd like to fix. And sometimes you feel powerless about that stuff. I think you're right in terms of that relationship between feeling a little isolated. It was really about the political world, this pandemic, this whole sort of thing, you know, in terms of how things have been moving in the past few years in terms of trying to get our lives back. You know, it's really a feeling of isolation based on Trump and what's happening in the UK around Brexit and just things happening that make no sense to people like me. So it was really around that.
Now, when you wrote this, though, like the pandemic didn't happen, right?
No, it was really Brexit. It was on Trump. Obviously, it's become more appropriate now because of that whole
right
thing. So it's been, we were sort of, it was really to do with what was going on in the UK and here politically, and just feeling like things were going the wrong way and feeling like pushing against that power is very difficult.
What was it like to put the record out? Obviously, you didn't want to put it out under these circumstances, and I mean, I would have just held on until a better time, but did you have this time in mind to release it, or was it?
No. We tend to be pretty prolific, right? So I had like 35 songs that were ready to go. I just went, let's just put these out, because I've got enough. Since then, I've got another 25 or something. So I work on this stuff all the time, and my brother's prolific too, and like to get it out there rather than sitting on it and waiting for the right time. And to be honest, you know, if we'd waited, it's still not the right time. I'm not sure there will be a right time for a while, so I'd rather have it out there. People are going to hear it. People are going to enjoy it. And then probably pretty soon we'll probably put a follow-up out as well, because I think, you know, we've got so much stuff lying around.
It's funny because I just had this conversation the other day with a band that I was talking to out in Switzerland. They were like, yeah, we're already ready for our follow-up album. And they just released an album. And I was like, dude, you got to... You know, you gotta wait like a year or two to, you know, to you know, so that album can really hit ears. You know, I've never understood that idea of putting out more.
It's interesting. Well, you know who Guided by Voices are? Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Because I mean, they have like 70 albums out or something, right? They put out like 5 albums a year or something.
Right.
It's a different. I think when we had the old model, where things were being physically released, you know, and physically distributed and pushed out through hard copy, then I think it took a long time for that to seed that system. But today, because everything is digital, you know, this ramp up, it took us probably working with Nub about 2 months before we could actually, we talked about putting out in March and it came out in May. So it takes a little while to sort of oil the wheels, but it's very easy to put stuff out. I think, you know, there's so much focus on the song today versus the album, that if you get the right song out there in the right place, I think that it gives people an option to discover more stuff. That's kind of been the feeling about it. If we put something out, more stuff out, then maybe that's another way people can find us. Like you're saying, it's hard to find things about us because we're really just starting. So we want to build that catalog out there.
You do make some very valid points, and that right now is making my mind think, because, you know, when COVID happened, I was ramping up this show. If you go on my website, you'll find I've done like literally thousands of different types of shows. But of course, all featuring music, all interviews and stuff like that, but all with a different little twist to them. But I was doing it once a week because I was doing it live, and I was at a studio out in North Hollywood at an art gallery. So like I didn't have that luxury to do one or two or three shows and then put them all out that week. And two, I was the engineer, the photographer, the videographer.
Was that in North Hollywood? Was that you could walk by and you could see people on the street?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw. I've been there. I've seen you guys. Cool.
For me to put out one show was just a lot of work. So that's why I did it to like once a week. But now that when I started this new show, What the Music, I was like, well, I'm not doing anything, and these artists aren't doing anything. So, you know, I started putting putting out two shows a week until I got to some more momentum. They started opening everything up, Southern California, and then I scaled back to once a week because I thought I was going to be busy. But it turns out that, like, even though they opened everything up, hours were cut from all the jobs. Still at a place where I'm like, man, maybe I should go back to two shows a week, too.
Yeah.
Talking with you, it just completely makes sense because I'm still reliant on that old model of once a week and letting things breathe, but I'll reconsider that. So thank you for bringing that.
I think it's interesting at the moment. I think that, you know, there's so much stuff out there, first of all, but I think it's also our sort of view on it is get as much stuff out there of the right quality. I mean, you know, you can't put a bunch of crap out. It has to sound good, but get the right stuff out there and hope it resonates with the right people.
Speaking of which, I know that this took a year. This project took a year, but in your bio, it said that in reality, it took 7 years. Was that because it was just finding the right people?
It was time management, because I've been working with some other people before this. And it was also just getting the dialogue right between my brother and myself. You know, I think it was just a matter of getting us into the right place. I've spent a lot of time in the UK recently, so we got a lot closer and we worked more. Because we were so far away before, it really was dragging it out. And then when we finally got time to sit down together and work on this stuff, it came together pretty quickly.
Last question before I let you go. And again, thank you for letting me play cuts off of Lost in the World.
Thank you for playing them.
Yeah, which is out now. And the cut that I played earlier, Broken Hearts and Promises, one of my favorites, of course. I'm saving my super favorite for the end. Huge fan of the horns, by the way, and that was the one thing that like sucked me in, because anything with horns, 9 times out of 10, I'm always in for. You know, once in a great while, I'll hear a song that has horns, and I'll be like, "Man, the horn section was great, but the song sucks."
That's something new for us too. We haven't done that before. And so it sort of brought a whole new dimension to the sound. We're enjoying that too. So, that's been really fun. And it also brings, you know, a whole new set of skill sets to the table in terms of figuring out how to make that really sound good.
And what was the decision for horns? Was it just like, you know, we should do horns, or was it like, hey, I know so-and-so, why don't we bring him in? And then it just sounded good.
Started working on this, more, you know, say indie soul type thing, and it just seemed like a natural extension. You know, I love Nile Rodgers and Chic. They can do a 4-5 minute song with a few little strings and piano, but mostly guitar and bass. The horns really add another flavor. And so it just seemed like it was the right thing to do. And it seemed to complement the vocals a lot as well.
It does. And I was a huge fan of that. I first heard the horns. I'm like, okay, I'm interested. And then, you know, I thought I heard Mick Jagger. So I was like, okay, maybe this could be it. But is that why you don't want to do video? Are you really Mick Jagger? Just come on.
Yeah, exactly. I should get an old Mick video. And I think we should definitely do something like that. You know? But I am interested to know which song you like the best, which is your favorite song.
Okay, well, that's coming up right now. But for more information, please log on to hysongreenmusic.wixsite.com/hysongreen. And I know that's a lot, but I'll have all the links for you on the show notes. So just go over the show notes, and then there you can find more information on the band. Can subscribe to their newsletter. Go check them out. I highly recommend them. Really dig the music. Now, for this last song I'm going to play, it was Going Up That Mountain.
Well, the desert roads I travel, and the mountains made of stone, are reminders of our time together, and of the days I spent alone. I'm going up that mountain, I'm going up that hill. It soon, but I know one day I will. Well, throughout all of the bad times, your love has been with me, and you show me how to make it through, and in the end, set me free. I'm going up that mountain, going up that hill. I know I might not make it soon, but I know one day I it soon, but I know one day I will. I'm going up that mountain, I'm going up that hill.